All right, welcome to May 14th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and we will begin the show with a Pledge of Allegiance as we normally do. So, let's all stand up, let's face the flags, and put our right hand over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I mean everybody. All right, very nice. Okay, so now moving on to today's program. Big show lined up here.
News of the State of Israel hits America's headlines. Jamestown introduces the concept of the limited liability company to North America. And the world's largest hand puppet show roars at the San Diego Zoo.
All right, so now let's get started.
1948. Here are the headlines for the New York Times, which are pretty much the same headlines as every other paper throughout the world. Israel declares independence. Yes, the day before, Jewish agency chairman David Ben-Gurion became its first premier. After 2,000 years, it appeared that Jews could have a homeland. There was already some hope in that effort since the end of World War I, when the Ottoman Empire was split, and the British took over Palestine. But as Nazi Germany began persecution of Jews, Palestine would become a hotbed of violent activity between the incoming Jews and the existing Arabs in the region. This was a fight the British did not really want and blocked them from coming into Palestine in 1939. The Jewish people turned to Franklin D. Roosevelt for help, but even though FDR claimed to be supportive of their cause, his actions spoke differently. In comes Harry Truman as the new president, and he made it known that he would absolutely support a Jewish state in Palestine. In April 1947, the General Assembly of the United Nations established a special committee in Palestine, or UNSCOP, and as a result, the Arab League Council authorized its members in Jordan, Iraq, Egypt, and Syria to move troops to the border. U.S. President Truman encouraged the United States to move forward with its partition plan that would split Palestine in two, which many Jews accepted, while none of the Arabs supported it, and the violence continued. On May 15th, the troops would invade Israel, but the new state would prevail. Now, the fighting never really stopped, as we all know. A green line would establish a boundary, but neighbors Jordan and Egypt took back what they felt was their share, namely the West Bank and East Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip, respectively. In 1950, Egypt would close the Suez Canal, but with military assistance from France and Britain, the canal would be reopened in 1957. In June of 1967, the Israelites would destroy their enemies, Jordan, Syria, and Egypt, in the Six-Day War. The United States has provided financial aid to Israel ever since, leading to many controversies that go well beyond the extent of this historic moment of 1948. 1607, Jamestown is established. Since Christopher Columbus sailed the seas of blue in 1492 and landed in Cuba or Haiti or Puerto Rico or wherever the heck he landed, the Spanish were all over the eastern seaboard of the Americas. The United Kingdom, who called that portion of the New World north of Florida, Virginia, for the Virgin Queen Elizabeth I, took a shot at colonizing in 1585 with the Roanoke Colony, or the Lost Colony, nowadays Derrick County, North Carolina. But in the early 1600s, the Virginia Company of England, a limited liability company, decided there might be some gold and silver in the New World, and determined it was worth sailing across the Atlantic to this mysterious continent, the same way the Spanish came over and seized the gold. In December 1606, Christopher Newport and Captain John Smith, several investors, led a crew of artisans, craftsmen, soldiers, a barber, two surgeons, and lots of very rich men who probably thought that they were going to the New World and staying at a Marriott hotel, because apparently they didn't have a clue about surviving in the American wilderness. In December 1606, a small fleet containing Susan Constant, the Godspeed, and the Discovery left England and arrived to what is now Chesapeake Bay on May 13th and unloaded their gear the next day. Home sweet home, right? Yes. Smack dab in the middle of the Algonquian nation, a vast domain led by the mighty chief Powhatan. Yes, things got interesting real fast. When English settlers and native tribesmen weren't exchanging pleasantries along with food for metal tools, the two groups were clashing almost immediately.
some of the white people who wandered too far outside of the newly established James City, James Fort, or Jamestown often didn't make it back alive. Fortunately, Smith was able to make peace with Powhatan, which eased tensions. When a wedding took place between Powhatan's daughter Pocahontas and John Rolfe, tensions were eased even further. Smith went back to England to report to King James and bring back more colonists and provisions. But in his absence, the colonists face a brutal winter, famine, thirst, and disease-carrying mosquitoes, and not many survived. They almost abandoned Jamestown until Smith showed up with more ships full of people and food. Even though the Virginia LLC came to the New World looking for gold, tobacco would turn out to be the profitable export, and survival would be an added bonus. As the Jamestown colony grew and grew, the Algonquians became more and more not happy about giving up their land. In 1619, the first English government was formed in Jamestown. In that same year, a Portuguese ship was attacked by the Dutch in the West Indies, and 50 African slaves were sent to Jamestown and became English America's first slaves. In 1622, Chief Powhatan's successor, Opechancanough, led an attack against Jamestown, killing about a third of the settlement population of 1,200. When King James heard the news, he attempted to gain greater control of the operations by the Virginia LLC, but when he was denied, he dissolved the company entirely, and Jamestown became a royal extension of Great Britain. These days, Jamestown is a natural historic park. So, yeah. Who wants to take a field trip? ...2006. Biggest amateur puppet show takes place in Balboa Park in San Diego. Yes, America's finest city indeed hosted a performance by 508 participants wearing hand puppets as part of the Centennial Community Celebration, courtesy of the San Diego Zoo Global in Balboa Park, as a nod to the community for years of support. The hand puppets look like a roaring lion wearing a hat, sunglasses, and a bow tie. The gathering took place at the Spreckles Organ Pavilion, and they acted out a story about Dr. Harry Wedgeforth and the founding of the San Diego Zoo in 1916. It also had an orchestra, since, you know, it took place at a very large organ in Balboa Park. Beautiful place, really, actually. It's right next to where my wife Teresa and I got married.
Teresa and I got married at Alcazar Gardens.
By the way, the previous record belonged to a grammar school in the UK that had a measly 463 puppets doing a production of some Mayan myth called Hurricane and a Feathered Snake or something like that.
So that is all, friends, for May 14th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. I got this cool website you got to take a look at. It's called joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Check it out. There's a comment board on there I'd like you to get involved with. Let me know what you thought about today's program. Old West fans, how much of an impact towards American expansion did Lewis and Clark really have, in your opinion? What about that 9/11 story? Was Todd Beamer another hero or just another 9/11 conspiracy, in your opinion? Car buffs, do you have or have ever owned a Chevy Corvair? World War II buffs, how significant was Operation Point Blank? Baseball fans, was Mickey Mantle underrated or overrated in your opinion? So yeah, let me know what you think. Let's get a discussion going here on the comment board. Now, be sure to check out tomorrow's program. Talk about Madeleine Albright, Revolution News at Fort Granby, the Seven Years' War, Faith Seven, and Emmett Smith. And in the meantime, you can still hit me up on Facebook and Twitter. So until tomorrow, thanks everyone for being great patriotic Americans, and we'll see you then.